Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
As you embark on this new journey of yours as a coordinator, you're probably confronting one of the most dramatic rules changes the league has seen. Are you excited by this, like some of your special teams coordinator brethren? And how much do you anticipate this spring and summer having to introduce this to your new players? And do they have any idea what's coming with this new rule?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. This game is ever evolving, and as a coordinator, there's an instance where you have to try and stay ahead of all the rule changes and find out what are all the intricacies of what those provide. And this obviously is going to be some foreign territory, but for everybody across the league. And I think the NFL has done a hell of a job in terms of taking out the speed and space of this play in terms of kickoff to keep guys healthier, which is a big deal. But ultimately bringing a play that was almost dissolving with all the touchbacks and the fair catches that you were seeing. So, you know, it's exciting to see. It's exciting to game plan. It's exciting to kind of find the little nuances when it comes to that specific rule change. But when it comes down to it, I've always felt that every special teams player requires a certain level of effort, a certain level of technique, and a certain level of violence. So those will be the foundational pieces of that rule change, and then obviously figuring out what is our best foot forward in terms of attacking that. We'll do that this spring.
I know it's only the first day. Has any player come up to you and asked you and say, can you explain this to me? Because I don't really understand it.
Yeah, no, it's it's like I said, it's foreign territory to a lot of people, and they're just in passing. There's a lot of questions, and you know, it's exciting when it comes down to it, because it's so new, right? And your brain starts to go a million miles per hour because you're thinking of all the intricacies that go on in a specific play. But when it's so different, you have so many questions about it, right? And how your brain, whatever way it works, you know, you start to think of like, okay, could this be the advantage? Could this be the advantage? Everybody has great ideas on it. So, you know, it's exciting, but players have come up and, you know, they've been simple questions, and to the best of my knowledge, I'm going to give them those answers.
Thank you.
Yep.
Art Stapleton.
Hey, Michael, welcome and congrats.
I appreciate it.
Along those same lines, talking to a lot of people when the rule was first approved, everybody made that jump to, you know, roster construction. And we all know special teams, you guys are always, you know, at the mercy of what's going on elsewhere on the roster. But for you, how much do you envision maybe personnel preferences changing because of the rule? And, you know, there's been speculation about people may go smaller, faster, may take some of the bigger guys off. You have to be more prepared. How much research have you done and will continue to do to be able to construct the proper, roster to have those guys be able to perform at that level?
No, that's a great question. And I think when you look at the role of special teams plays in general, you are trying to utilize your best 11, regardless of who it is. A lot of that deals with what you do defensively, what type of front you major in, and also offensively, where you front-loaded in certain positions. So when you look at that specifically, you're trying to think, okay, what is the best 11 I can get out there? And it's not necessarily, hey, we're looking for more size players, hey, we're looking for more speed, or we can get small here because we can utilize This guy's quick. We're trying to find out what our best 11 is. And then when we do that, we could obviously piece together what our kickoff team will look like, what our kickoff return team will look like. But, you know, that's part of the one of the first tasks I took when I took this job was I evaluated a roster. And, you know, you kind of look at where guys fit into different spots. And then it'll be another evaluation as we go through spring and then in training camp. It's just going to be ever-evolving. So, you know, until we finalize our whole roster, it's going to be what is our best 11 out there.
Cool. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Dan Duggan.
Hey, Michael, I guess this rule change made it easy for us to give us a theme for your first presser. I'm just curious, does it change the type of kick returner, like the speed or the size or just that type of player to actually be the guy back there returning the kickoffs now?
No, another great question. And these honestly are all things that come up as you look through the rules, as you watch similar, you know, obviously similar things that happen in the XFL. I think when you look at it globally, you know, those are the baddest dudes back there, the most dangerous guys with the ball in their hands. So there's a skill set that could be very productive for certain types of returns, and there's another skill set that could be more productive for other types of returns. Again, it goes back to who is your best 11, and your returns are definitely part of that conversation. And then I think that's how you evolve your scheme. It's got to feature those guys, whether it's a guy that hits at a million miles per hour, whether it's a jitterbug type of guy that can make you miss. I think both have relevance with this new rule change. So, I mean, it'll be exciting to see what we got.
And you were talking about how it was new for players, but obviously you've never coached this. I mean, did you have to, like, what was your process? Like, you reach out to people in the XFL, you study a lot of XFL typing. How did you get up to speed to be able to teach it to the players?
Yeah, no question. The rules are very similar to the old XFL kickoff and kickoff return. So there was a huge emphasis in terms of studying that. I think, you know, ultimately when you start to look at something new like that, you relate it back to what you know as well. And then you start to combine, okay, these are the similarities, these are the differences. Now, the rule is going to be different than the XFL. You know, obviously navigating through what those rule changes are going to be and still trying to figure out what is your base philosophy. I mean, those things are going to be ongoing. And then once you start to practice it, I mean, those are going to be new things that are going to come up. You're going to be like, okay, this is a great way to do things, or I don't necessarily like the way this looks. Let's figure out how to do it that way.
Thanks.
Yep.
Kim Jones.
Hi, Michael. I'm Kim. It's nice to meet you.
Hi, Kim.
I'm just wondering if you've ever thought of being a teacher, because it sounds like that there's going to be a heavy emphasis on that part of this, that if it were status quo, everyone knows the deal. Now you're the expert in this new rule in terms of with your players, of course.
That's so funny. My dad was a teacher. And my sister is a teacher. Now she's in administration. And I've always felt that coaching is synonymous with teaching. And that's one of the forefront of my pillars in terms of being able to get our players to understand certain things is I have to find a great teaching progression for them. So there are, you know, people in my family that have taught. And then I've always just, again, you're always trying to figure out what is the best way you can relay information to your players. And we deal with a variety of different learners, is trying to learn your learners, figure out what their strengths are, what their challenges are, and ultimately get them to compete at their greatest level.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Brad Dunleavy.
Hey, Michael, thanks for doing this. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Two questions for you. One, you mentioned you evaluated the roster. Your thoughts on Gano and Gillen?
I'm excited to work with both of them. You know, you have two veteran guys, Graham, who's played 15-plus years in this league, who's obviously done it at a very high level, and Jamie, who's coming off a really strong year. Both, I think, are elite in terms of NFL specialists, so I'm excited to work with them. I know they have a lot of talent, and it's going to be fun.
And then your process on joining this job. I mean, obviously there's only 32 special teams coordinators, so I'm sure you wanted any of them. But having been in New York with the Jets, obviously I'm sure you know that there was a lot of talk about Brian Daboll being very hard on his assistant coaches. Was that something you welcomed? Was that something that gave you pause? How did you feel through the interview process about joining this staff?
You know, honestly, you know, I was a coordinator in college before, and then the opportunity to coordinate again was always going to be very exciting to me, especially at the pinnacle of our profession in the NFL. When I was with the Jets, my focus was totally on being the best assistant special teams coach that I could be. So there wasn't necessarily any knowledge of anything outside our building. And there's no different here. It's like I was so excited to get in front of Dabes. And it's been so cool getting to know him and the staff. And it's been a lot of fun just in terms of, you know, acclimating to those processes here. And it'll be fun to work with these guys.
Thank you.
Peter Splendorio.
Hi there. Great to meet you.
Hi, Michael. Yeah, Peter Splendorio with the Daily News. To kind of go build off of the evaluation piece, just what were sort of your impressions overall of these units coming in, and what do you think is the ceiling of these units?
Yeah, no, so some of the things that I look for, you know, when I look at a special teams players, are instincts, toughness, and football IQ. Those are three things that, you know, you kind of evaluate, whether it's different schemes or anything. You're trying to figure out, you know, again, it goes back to putting your personnel in the best situation for them to have success. So those are three things that I kind of look at, and you start to categorize guys, players, into two special teams categories. That, to me, is interior core players and outer core players. If you just look at, like, an interior punt, your guard tackle, slots, and PP, and then your outer core players are your gunners, your speed guys. So when I evaluated this roster, it was kind of like deciphering where guys fit in that mold. And then you start to look at what are your guys' strengths, what are your guys' challenges, how do we improve that, and then also figure out what were the technique differences to where we can get guys acclimated to a new scheme, new techniques, and then ultimately be able to play at a high level.
Thank you.
Yep.
We'll take two more. Patty Trina.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Nice to meet you.
Great to meet you.
Michael, you've been around in the college ranks. You spent a lot of time, of course, with the Jets, you know, a couple of seasons there. Can you just talk a little bit about what you have learned throughout this journey to get to this point and how you're going to use that as your foundation now that you're at the next level?
Yeah. No, it's so cool to be in this position. I'm truly grateful for the opportunity. But I understand an opportunity is not an outcome. And I think of, obviously, where my roots were in college to start and the road it took me to get to the NFL. In all that process of all the different universities I coached at, being with the Jets, my main focus was always trying to better myself as a coach and as a teacher. So that's always been the forefront of, you know, kind of what I carried with my coaching philosophy. And it's so cool now to be in the NFL as a coordinator for the New York Giants. You know, I have a smile on my face when I say it. You know, this is the New York Football Giants, and it's pretty cool moment to be able to say that. But it's exciting. Like, you learn different ways to do things, whether you're the guy in charge or not. You learn, you know, obviously what are the best moments of your teaching progression, certain techniques that you really like. It's really a culmination of all those places that I've spent time at. A credit to all the players that I've encountered, and they're definitely part of this journey and have ultimately made me the coach I am today.
Thank you.
Last one, Ed Valentine.
Michael, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're obviously not on the field at this point. You're just introducing yourself to these players. What is your process with players at this point? You know, you don't have your 11. What's your process with players? What are you trying to learn about them at this point, you know, as you try to figure out who your guys are going to be?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. This part of the year, you do have meetings. So you get the opportunity to teach your new schemes, your new techniques. And the way I run my meetings is very interactive. So I get to hear these guys talk, how they communicate things, because a lot of it deals with how they see the play, how they see the technique. And that, I think, is the forefront of how you teach everything once you get out to the grass. Before that, I want to know exactly what they're seeing. So it's going to be a lot of me learning how they learn. It's going to be me learning necessarily how they see certain schemes and certain techniques that I'm teaching them and what questions they have. So it'll be a good opportunity to get to know the personnel on our roster.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.